Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In every sacrifice that was made, the blood was always before the Lord. Abel's lamb, when it was sacrificed, the blood was before the Lord. Abraham's ram, and this Passover lamb. The suffering and death of Christ on the behalf of His people was before the Lord, unto the Lord, to declare the Lord's righteousness, to satisfy the Lord's justice, to fulfill the Lord's purpose, to glorify the Lord's character, and to enable the Lord to be both just and justifier of them that believe. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb, shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor soldered, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it to it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done to them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be of a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and saw and said unto them, Draw out, take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Let us pray. Holy Father, in the name of that Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his precious name we come to you tonight, seeking to worship, Lord, seeking to learn your ways, seeking to be closer to you. Send the Holy Spirit, Lord, if it be thy will, cause us to see Christ. Cause us to learn more of him. Call Brother Donnie to tell us about our Savior. Open our hearts to him tonight, Lord, and take out everything that's unlike him and fill us with Christ and Christ alone. Forgive us of everything that's unlike him, Lord. And we pray for the service tonight that you'd be among everything that's said and done here, Lord, and the word to be for your glory. Forgive us of our sins. And I pray for my family, Lord, my kids, my children, my grandchildren, my wife, her family. They don't know you, Lord. Only you can do for them what nobody else can do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All right, open your Bibles with me this evening, if you have them and will, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to start reading at verse 18. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the twelve that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. Then he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And we'll drink it with him. Sit down at the Lord's, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's gonna feed a multitude that no man can number. And if he took six great big jugs of water with about 60 gallons in each one of them, turned them into wine, it'd be no problem him giving us all wine. Really? Oh, my. Bless his name. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any likewise. Anywise, likewise also said they all, and as they came to a place, which was named Gethsemane, he saith to his disciples, Set ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh, and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth to the master and saith unto him, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord's life. I read all these verses tonight, and it all does with his suffering, his last. It was that night of the Passover. It was time for him to go into the fire, time for him to be consumed, time for his blood to be shed, time for him to suffer. Our Lord's life was intense, short, but an intense life. But it was a life fully lived, a life full of experience. Our Lord's life was full of experience. He experienced love, and he experienced hate, joy and sorrow. He experienced compassion and commitment. In fact, our Lord knew what it was to have faith and have that faith tried, have that faith to be triumphant. He had friends and he had foes. He had great blessings, but he also had a great betrayal. Great betrayal. And between the time that he gave the cup, there in verse 23, when he had took the cup and had given thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank it. And getting the kiss, down here in verse 45, it said, Master, Master, and kissed him. Between the giving of that cup and getting the kiss, we can see just a little of the intenseness of our Lord's life in its closing hours and the experiences of his soul. I want you to see a few things about this tonight. And the first thing I want us to see is, they sung a hymn. Look down verse 26, talking about our Lord's life intense. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out under the Mount of Olives. He just got through saying that he's going to be betrayed. He gave the bread and he gave the wine. And then they went out and they began to sing a hymn. They sang a song. They sang songs. They didn't sing hymns like you and I sang hymns. They sang songs. And the Lord Jesus, saying, with this hour of betrayal, this hour of suffering, this hour of agony coming upon him. And he's saying, with his 11, Judas was gone. And you can believe that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's saying, can you imagine the beautiful voice that our Lord had? They called David the sweet psalmist of Israel. But can you imagine the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ singing? Can you imagine him singing the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Could you imagine him singing the 40th Psalm? When he says, you know, the Lord is my strength, my protector, my defender. The Lord is my help, my strength. Or the 91st Psalm. Maybe he started that. He said, he that dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty dwelleth in safety. And oh, maybe, I don't know what psalm they sung, but whatever it was, our Lord Jesus, maybe Psalm 103, when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. But I do know this, that when they sung this hymn, you imagine, our Lord Jesus Christ, this is his hour. And they got together and they began to sing this wonderful, wonderful hymn. And what a beautiful voice our Lord Jesus Christ had. They sung a hymn. They sung a hymn. Then he made a prediction. Look what he said in verse 27. He made a prediction. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. When he said, all shall be offended of me because of men, because of me this night, that word offended means stumble over. Offended means that you stumble over it. You can't get over it. It's an obstacle that trips you up. And the shepherd is about to be smitten and the sheep's about to be scattered. You keep Mark and look over in Zechariah. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah is the one right before it. And look in Zechariah 13:7 with me for a moment. Oh, listen. He comes from changed from singing a hymn, eating with his disciples, enjoying in communion with them, give them the bread, gave them the wine. Zechariah chapter 13. And now he predicts they're all going to desert him. Every one of you is going to desert me. You're going to be offended tonight because of me. And look what is said here. This is what our Lord meant. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I'll turn my hand upon the little one. And our Lord told him, said, all of you is going to be offended because of me this night. They had taken our master at his word for years and years and years. And now Peter says, this is not so. It can't be so. Look what he said. He said, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. You're all going to be offended. You're going to stumble over me tonight. You're going to desert me tonight. But after that I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. But Peter saith unto him, now, he had believed our master's word for years. Seen him perform miracles. They themselves preached, but look at what he said. But Peter saith unto him, though all shall be offended, everybody else may stumble over you. Everybody else may desert you. Nah, I won't. I won't do it at all. I won't do it at all. And all up there, when he says he's going to be betrayed, they all began to say unto him, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Do you ever wonder, sometimes you say, what will I be 5 years from today? Where will I be 10 years from now? Will I still be attending the gospel? Will I still be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ? Will I become offended at this? Will I be one of those that gets up and walks out on him? And that's what they said, is it me or am I going to be the one to betray you?
I would say that John, the one who, that disciple whom Jesus loved, I say John, that's just a supposition on my part. I say John was probably the very first one to say it. Is it I? Lord, is it I? Am I going to be the one to betray you? And then James, his brother, said, is it going to be me? But old Peter jumped up and said, oh, they all may be offended. They all may walk away from you. But I won't. I won't do it. I won't do it. And oh, listen to what our Lord says to him. Oh, listen. And Jesus saith unto him, oh, that this day, even tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Three times. And all, beloved, but now that sword that woke against the shepherd, that woke against his fellow, thank God that sword was awakened for him and awakened to smite him so that it didn't smite us. And bless God that that sword that God himself pulled out and smite the shepherd and smote the shepherd. And then the little ones scattered. Thank God it awoke for him. Didn't awake for us. And then look what it says in verse 33. Not only did he predict what they were going to do, but look at his suffering. Down in verse 33. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and be sore heavy. Extremely amazed. And he became very heavy in his heart. Very heavy in his soul. Very heavy in his mind. And oh, beloved, his whole life, and oh, listen what he said. He began to be sore amazed and very, very heavy. And he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Our Lord Jesus Christ, his whole life had been one of suffering. From where he was born, from his birth, when he is laid in a manger. And all the days of his life, he was raised by poor parents, raised in a poor house, and all of his station in life, he was a poor man. In fact, the scriptures, he told one time, he said, the birds have nests and the foxes, the birds of there have nests, the foxes have holes, but I ain't even got a place to lay my head. And oh, listen, I tell you, from his birth, he was a poor man, despised and rejected of men, a man that was full of sorrow and grief. And here it says he's amazed and very heavy. What amazed him and what made it very heavy? I'll tell you what it was. Our sins. Our sins. From eternity, from time began to time ends, all the sins of God's elect came marching like mighty armies. Came marching to meet on this man, and they kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And this day, this night, they're going to have to come. And he knows those awful sins was going to come down on him. And oh, beloved, that would have sunk us to hell for eternity. Oh, the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. Bruised for our iniquities, chastised with our peace lays upon him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, make his soul an offering for sin. And I tell you why else his sword amazed. He knew that the wrath, he just got through saying the shepherd's going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. He knew that God, his Father, was going to come and take that sword of holy justice. That wrath that was going to come is hovering over him like a dark, dark cloud. And there's a storm going to come on him that he is going to have to endure. And he'd be able to endure it and he'd be able to suffer. It came upon him like it's never come upon any other man. No other man. Here's the thing, beloved. A man, when he goes and suffers for his own sins and spends eternity in outer darkness, spends eternity separated from God, he's suffering for his sins. And he'll never be able to satisfy justice and endure enough wrath to satisfy God that God has to go and bring him up out of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, this sinless man, this holy man, this perfect man, this virtuous man, this man with all the merit, he was able, because of the worth of his person, to bear all the sins of all of God's people, endure all the wrath due them, and all the justice due the punishment of their sins, so that God can never come back and get one for whom Christ died. Oh, listen what he said in verse 34. He said, "Unto them my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Keep this and look over Jeremiah's lamentations. At the end of Jeremiah, there's the lamentations. Look in Lamentations chapter 1. My soul, he had sorrow. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. We all know what it is to have sorrow over somebody dying, somebody that we love. And they have sorrow too if they know it's coming. They know that they're dying. They know that time's running out for them. You know, they're sorrowful too. But there was no sorrow like our Lord's sorrow. There was no sorrow like Christ's sorrow, because our Lord's sorrow was the sorrow of a man who had no reason to sorrow except for us. And except for what he is going through for us. Now look what he said here. "Oh, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." Look in verse 12 of Lamentations 1. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." And they did. They walked by. Anybody know the sorrow? Wherewith the sorrow? "Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." He has sorrow of the soul because he is holy. Sin is coming to him. Sin's coming upon him. And when our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin and its guilt, it wasn't a heartless mechanical process. Our Lord was a man. He felt like a man. He was touched with infirmities. He was touched with grief and sorrow and pain and agony, just like anybody else would in their body. But how could his spotless, sinless soul come in contact with sin and guilt and him not be exceeding sorrowful? Exceeding sorrowful. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he experienced the guilt, experienced what was due us, as it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. Huh? Oh, his soul's exceeding sorrowful. Oh, our Lord Jesus. Oh, I can't imagine the sorrow that he was going through that night. I just can't imagine it. Sorrowful. "My soul," he said, "my soul's exceeding sorrowful." And then he prayed. Look what he said in verse 35. "And he went forward a little." Mark 14:35. "And he went forward a little
And look what it says, and fell on the ground. Didn't say he got down on his knees. Didn't say he bowed down. His soul was so burdened. His grief was so heavy and his sorrow was so great that when he went out a little way, he just fell to the ground. Just fell to the ground. The weight was so heavy on him, he just fell to the ground. Ain't that what it says? And fell on the ground. And he prayed. And you know what he asked for? That if it were possible, his soul's in agony, his soul so heavy he falls to the ground. And he says, if it be possible, if it's possible at all, the hour might pass from him. What hour? That hour of being forsaken of the Father. That hour of the false judgment and all the lies going to be told on you. The hour of betrayal. The hour of desertion. The cup of wrath that he must drink. Oh, if the sheep are going to be saved, he must drink it. He went forward and fell. Fell to the ground. And then look what he says here. He said, oh, and he said, he continues his prayer and he yields up to the Father. He says, oh, listen. He fell on the ground, prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And then he said, Abba, Father. This is the cry of a child to his father and then a person who understands who they're praying to. And he said, Abba, Father. All things are possible unto thee. All things are absolutely possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. It's possible for you to do this. It's possible if you take away this cup. There's nothing possible with you, impossible with you. But our Lord Jesus Christ, nevertheless, if this is what it takes, our Lord said in John 5:30, he says, I make no judgments. He said, I came from down into this world not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And look at Hebrews 5. Look in Hebrews 5. This is one of those amazing verses of Scripture I wished I knew something about. Hebrews 5, 7. This is the obedient son. This is the son that must be about the Father's business. And here is a culmination of the Father's business. Look what he said in Hebrews 5, 7. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he was feared. This is talking about what he was doing right here. That's what Paul said. He that with strong in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard. God heard him. You think God didn't hear him? And listen to this. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. I don't know what that means. Yet he learned obedience. Suffering here in this soul sorrowful set. Exceeding sorrowful unto death, being sore amazed, his soul being heavy. And oh, here's this son in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, you know what Adam said? Not your will be done, but my will be done. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in another garden, said just the opposite. Not my will, but thine be done. Now a man, a son given and a child born, he prays before his father, and he says, oh, Father, you could do this. But nevertheless, I give myself into your hands. I give myself up to your will. I give myself up to the curse. I give myself up to lying and cheating and desertion and betrayal. I give myself up into the hands of men to do with me what they will. Nevertheless, I give myself up to you to do what you will with me. It's your will to have a people. It's your will to save your people. It's your will that your people be washed in blood, that their sins may be put away. It's your will that my body be an offering for sin, that you prepared me a body. It's your will that I suffer. It's your will that I die. It's your will that I be a sacrifice. It's your will that I be a sin offering. It's your will that I be a substitute. It's your will that I must suffer and cry and suffer like no man's ever suffered. It's your will. And let it be done. Let it be done. And I tell you, you're going to do it, and Lord, it'll do it in a way that'll make you stay just and holy and true. And save them in a way that honors your holy name. And then look what he does to his people. And look what an exhortation our Lord gives here in verse 37 and 38. He told them to watch, you know, tarry and watch for him, because he knows a group's coming out. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? And then look what he said. Now here's a man suffering. Here's a man suffering. It says his soul's exceeding sorrowful unto death, sore amazed and heavy. And he comes over here and talks to Peter, James, and John in such a gentle, tender, kind, and gracious way. He says, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? And then he told them this. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly, truly is ready. But oh, this old flesh. He said, I understand what you are. I understand how weak you are. I understand that you're just nothing but flesh. I understand that. The Lord knows our frame, that we're nothing but dust. And that's what he said. I know your flesh, your spirit. You got the spirit to do it, and you're willing to do it. And that's why Paul said, I'm willing. The will is present with me. But how to perform, I know not. So then I see that it is in my flesh dwells no good thing. And that's what our Lord said to them. I know you're willing, Simon Peter. I know you're willing. And your spirit's willing. But oh, you've got that old flesh to deal with. You've got that old flesh to deal with. And he deals so tenderly with his sleepy disciples. And then he look what he says in verse 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now. Sleep on now. And take your rest. It's enough. The hour's come. The hour's come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. What a confession it is. Behold, they're going to come and get me. They're going to come and get me. What a confession. You know what he said, told them one place. He said, I could call 12 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels. It would have been no problem for him to do that. He calls the stars by name. Calls things that don't exist as if they do. He calls dead men to life and calls them by name. And he confesses to them, I'm betrayed, not by an angel, but by a professed disciple. Now, you know there's something about us. There's something about us over here in John chapter 2. Over in John chapter 2. And our Lord gave himself up unto this. Our Lord, you know, he confessed here, said, my hour's come. I'm betrayed into the hands of sinful men. I'm betrayed, not by man, not by an angel, but by a disciple, by one who stayed with me 3 years. Look what it says down here in verse 23 of John chapter 2. Well, he knew what's going on. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, what you read tonight, in the feast day, many believed on his name, in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. Watch this. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Oh, everybody's bragging on him. Everybody said, oh, follow him around, watching all these miracles. But our Lord didn't say, boy, you're a fine bunch of people. I'm going to, you know, no. He didn't commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And listen to this. And need it not that any should testify of man. Nobody needs to come tell me anything about any man. You know why? For he knew what was in man. He knew what was in Peter. Peter didn't know it. He knew what was in Judas. Judas didn't know it. And he know what's in us, and we don't know it. And he gave himself up to this. He gave his life a ransom for many. The hour has come. And then look what he said in verse 42. And he said, rise up. Rise up, get up, let's go. Rise up, Mark 14:42. Rise up, get up, let's go. Peter, James, and John shook themselves, got up. No doubt rubbed their faces, stretched a little bit. Rise up and let us go. He that betrays me is here. And immediately, while he said this, there comes Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests, scribes, and elders. And listen to this. Oh, this is why he didn't commit himself to men. This is why he knew what was in men. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss. Now, listen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when they came out to get him, he did not have any peculiar traits about him that made him stand out from anybody else. No halos over his head. No glow from his face. The only way they know they're going to get the right person was somebody had to point him out. And look what he said. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, take him and lead him away and do it safely. And as soon as he would come, he goeth right straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they knew right then they had him. And they said, rise up now and let us go. May God enable us as his people to rise up and follow him all the days of our life. And let us never, by God's blessed grace, ever give him the kiss of betrayal. Let's rise up and follow him. Let's rise up and follow him. Let's follow him all through his life. Let's follow him to his cross. Let's follow him to his death. Let's follow him into his tomb. Let's follow him in his resurrection. Let's follow him when he sits down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And let's follow him by faith. Follow him by faith. And I would say this. You know where it says that sinners, he says, the sinners has come to get me. And it says in one place that he come to seek and to save sinners. And he endured a contradiction of sinners against himself. That sinners that he came to save came and crucified. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, anybody that's a sinner can rise up and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can do it. I'm going to get up and come to him. I'm going to keep coming to him. I ain't got no place else to go. Boy, he's took me. Oh, he's took me. Boy, he's took me in the awfulest conditions and embraced me and loved me in spite of 10,000 reasons why he shouldn't. But he has. Our Father, the blessed, blessed name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. We're all failures when it comes to trying to describe from our minds and our hearts just how wondrous you are and the suffering you endure, the glory that you possess, the willingness that you came to. But, oh Lord, we know it in our heart. We know it in our soul. We feel it. We understand it. We thank you for it. And, Lord, we've gathered here this evening to take this bread, to take this wine. And we do it in remembrance of you. That broken body and that shed blood. That Passover lamb that was roast with fire. And his blood was taken and put over the lintels of the door. And because of your blood shedding in your broken body, the Lord's passed over us. Passed over us in mercy. Passed over us in grace. Passed over us in love, compassion, pity and power and wisdom. And oh, we thank you for passing over us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving yourself for us. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right.